Folks, we were saved to learn God's word and then obey God's word. We weren't saved to learn God's word and never obey him. You see, we're going to see that sanctification is about obedience from a changed heart, an empowered life. It's about obedience. It's about doing the right thing empowered by Christ.
Welcome to this Thursday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, today you get to what many people would consider to be the practical side of the Christian life.
Dave, you're absolutely right, and what we're going to look at today is obedience. Now, unfortunately, this topic of obedience is not very popular to talk about, but as we're going to see in today's broadcast, obedience is a manifestation of one of the most important elements of our relationship with Jesus. So with that in mind, turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2, and we're looking at verses 12 and 13.
Well, thanks, Greg. And if you're new to Equipping the Saints, head over to our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org, to learn more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Our web address is simply etsradio.org. Now, with today's message, here's our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
So then, my beloved brethren, just as you have always obeyed, not only as in my presence only, but also now much more around my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. The issue is obedience. As a humble servant, in the likeness of Christ, in terms of his mindset. Folks, we were saved to learn God's word and then obey God's word. We weren't saved to learn God's word and never obey him. Turn to Matthew chapter 28, the Great Commission, or what people call the Great Commission. Matthew 28, verse 19. You see, we're going to see that sanctification is about obedience from a changed heart, an empowered life. It's about obedience. It's about doing the right thing empowered by Christ, which many Christians choose not to do. And many Christians don't fear and tremble at the idea of not doing what is right. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Go therefore, and the verb here, the command is make disciples. And he's going to say how you do it. There's two ways, the two ing words. Make disciples of all the nations. One, baptizing them. That means, hey, you don't disciple someone who's not saved, right? They can't grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus if they haven't been saved and outwardly brought forth that declaration, right? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then what? Verse 20. Teaching them to what? Observe. The word means keep. It means obey. Teaching them to obey. We don't just simply come here to be taught. You come here to be taught to obey the Lord. And that's some people's problem sometimes. They come to be taught, but they never obey. Jesus would say, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? If he is the exalted Lord, which he is, in which every knee will bow, therefore, as we have obeyed already, we should keep obeying him if we're real believers, right? As I mentioned earlier in James chapter 1, we see that there are those who are not saved. Those who are not saved who hear the word but don't do it because they don't have a salvation to work out. Turn to James chapter 1, verse 21. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. By the way, the word is what God uses to bring about a new birth, right? Born again through the living and abiding word. And it's the same thing he uses to change us and sanctify us. And he says, but prove yourselves doers of the word, not merely hearers who delude themselves. If you come here week after week after week and you hear the word of God and yet you don't obey Christ from a changed heart, you are deluding yourself. And notice what he says. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, that's the word of God, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man is blessed in what he does. What did the Lord Jesus do in his summary on his teaching on the Mount? His final illustration was about those who build on the rock and who build on the sand. And what did he say the ones who build on the rock on? They are those who hear the word and do it. And those who build on the sand, they hear the word, but they don't do it because they're not building on the right foundation, right? They can't, as we'll see. They don't have a salvation to work out. So back in our passage, we see that we are to be working out our salvation. And Paul makes this point clear in Romans chapter 6 also. He says, but thanks be to God, through you were slaves to sin, you became obedient from the heart, from the former teaching. You became obedient to the word of God. You became obedient to the truth. Working out our salvation, simply put, is obeying him. But it's not a rote obedience like the hypocrites. It is a heart-changed obedience where the mind of Christ is functioning in us, where his word is directing my thinking, and thus I step out in obedience. We're going to see that to let go and let God is wrong. Yes, we do need to rely on the Lord completely, but we are also called and responsible to step out, as we're going to see. To step out and obey him by his power and strength. The Lord Jesus prayed, sanctify them in truth. Thy word is truth. John 17:17. When we have the mindset of Christ, which was humble obedience motivated by love, right? In a true relationship, we are to, just as we have always obeyed, work out our salvation continually obeying. And this is an amazing encouragement for true believers. If you're a true believer, you have had your salvation worked out at a time. You have obeyed. The Philippians were obeying. They weren't perfect. There was some conflict going on. We'll see that in chapter 4. But they were obeying, by and large, the God of the Word and the Word from God. Just as you have, Philippians, you are obeying. As you are, keep doing that. And so for us, we should be continuing to obey. That's the encouragement for true believers. But you know, some believers can get hardened by the deceitfulness of sin, right? And can stop obeying in some ways. And that's where we're going to see fear and trembling comes in a moment. That we need to have a right attitude of not obeying the Lord. We need to have a right attitude concerning our relationship with the Lord and how we work out our salvation. So here, just as you have always obeyed, work out your salvation, tells the Philippians. And he says, not only in my presence only, but now much more. Isn't that true, true believer? We want to obey, right? And when we're around other believers, it's a little bit easier to obey, isn't it? But when we're not around people that have that pressure to obey in a sense, in a good way, sometimes we don't obey as we should, right? Paul says, in the same way you did in my presence, do it when I'm not here. Don't just obey when you're hearing the word being preached. Obey when we're not around one another. Much more in my absence, he says. We know the temptation to say, oh, because of this person, that person, this is why I did this and that. No, no, no. Obey, no matter who's around you. Obey. Much more, brothers and sisters, we're to be working out our salvation with a changed mind, allowing him to change our behavior, salvation at work in us. Now, what would working it out look like specifically in this context? Well, as we saw, they were to conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel, right? They were to stand firm in the truth and to not be fearful of the opposition, to be afraid or alarmed by it. They were to make Paul's joy complete by being of the same mind, not being anything from selfishness or empty conceit, but regarding one another as more important than themselves, seeing one as super above one another. They were to have the mind of Christ, to think like Jesus, who took on human flesh and humbled himself and obeyed, even to the point of death. Now, I don't believe the Apostle Paul is saying here when he says, work out your salvation, he's saying, just go out and do stuff. I don't believe he's saying that. We're going to see obedience is integrally tied to faith. Faith and obedience work together hand in hand. Indeed, in the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul uses a phrase in the beginning of the book and in the end of the book that's the exact same phrase in Greek, and some translations have obscured it, and that's sad. But he talks about that faith that brings about obedience, the obedience of faith. Now, I don't usually like the NIV, but I like their translation here for Romans chapter 1, verse 5. Through him and his name's sake, we receive grace and apostleship to call the people from among the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. When you trust in Jesus and his word works in your heart, it brings about obedience. And in the end of Romans chapter 16, it talks about the gospel that was brought forth and now manifested the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the eternal God. He is made known to the nations, leading to the obedience of faith. And that other translation, that we might believe and obey him. That's what he's doing. If you're a Christian and you're not obeying, something's wrong. Maybe you're not a Christian. You see, it's going to bring about obedience. Not perfect obedience, but obedience when we trust Him. It's going to be seen in our lives. What does it mean to work out our salvation? It's working out that new relationship with the living God in which we have the renewed mind, and by faith we trust Him and we step out in obedience to a personal God and obey what He says. It's as His Word works in our hearts, we are changed. 1 Peter chapter 1, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, that you may obey Jesus Christ. God's Spirit setting us apart that we would obey Him. Tremendous song. We sang it last week, so we're not going to sing it this week. And I wanted to sing it again, but trust and obey. Trust and obey, right? Tremendous song. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, right? The hymn writer got it right. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. You got it right. Now, we need to recognize the Christian life is centered around obedience to the Word and the God of the Word. From a changed heart, what He is working in, we are to work out in reality. We're to be doers of the Word. You see, if you're not obedient to the Word, you're not a believer. I'll tell you that right now. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. By this we know we have come to know Him if we keep His commandments or His commands. That's not speaking about perfectly, because earlier He said if you say you have no sin, you're a liar. It's talking about a changed heart that by and large does what God says. There's not a rebellion in your heart against God and His Word. Again, what did Jesus say to those who thought they were saved but were not? Why do you call me Lord, Lord? Luke 6, 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? Why don't you do what I say? Some of you here are having trouble working out your salvation because you don't have a salvation to work out. And that goes either two ways. It either goes to legalism where it's all external, or it goes to just free-for-all, who cares? You never truly come to faith in Christ. There's no heart change. There's no power to obey. But the Lord can change you today if you're willing to turn to Him. If you're willing to realize you need salvation in Christ. If you're willing to obey the gospel. Now, for believers, obedience, sometimes we don't obey like we should, right? And maybe some of you have slowed down in your working it out. You've allowed your mind to be corrupted with the world's mindset, worldly philosophies. You're getting your input from the world through groups or whatever, or counselors, whatever it is. Rather than allowing the Word of God to change your heart. You've allowed the world's mindset and your own will and thoughts to get in the way. And so you're not working it out. You're not trusting the Lord with all your heart. You're leaning on your understanding. Confess it and obey God. We are to be thinking differently and thus obeying. Working out our salvation continually, habitually. Keep doing it. Keep obeying. Don't stop. Keep working it out, true believer. Keep working it out. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, keep working out your salvation. It's ongoing tense there. But yet, notice, there is a manner in which we are to do so. It is not a flippant manner. Notice what he says, with fear and trembling. This is a serious issue. We live in a society that's not serious about anything but our own will and desires. This is a serious issue. You hear people who don't care, they don't value life, whatever it might be. Our society is going downhill, but we are different. We're to have a different mindset. When we are tempted to absorb the world's mindset concerning any area in our lives, whatever it might be, we better start fearing and trembling, as we're going to say. We're to work out our salvation with, and the two words here are phobos and traumas. And what does that mean? It can't mean we're shaking in our boots every day, because later on Paul's going to say, rejoice in the Lord, and again I say rejoice. It doesn't mean we're walking around in absolute fear and terror. So what does it mean? Well, we're going to see there's an element of still the reality of those words. One pastor writes, I think, he says, the word fear, phobos, first had the meaning of flight, that which is caused by being scared, that which causes flight. We get our English word phobia from this Greek word, and the word in itself is a strong word. But Paul wants to strengthen it even further. Look at the next word. The word tremble, tramos, means to shake involuntarily with fear or excitement or cold. We get our English word trauma from this Greek word. These words graphically portray to us the depth of fear Paul wants us to feel as we work out our salvation. In other words, as we live out our life in obedience. What does that mean? Obviously, this fear and trembling is in reference to God, right? Because Jesus is Lord of all, and every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess. But what does it mean? I think we're going to see, in reference to God, we have to have a proper view of not working out our salvation, not obeying. We need a proper view of sin, a proper view of sin and of God, and I don't think we have it at times. We need to tremble and fear in respect to the prospect of sinning, which we don't often. We just take worry and fear and anger and irritation. Always say, we just say, no big deal, right? We should say it's a big deal. Turn to Exodus chapter 20. And talking about this account in Exodus 20 where God spoke from the mountain, even Moses was there. In Hebrews chapter 12, 21, it says, so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I am full of fear and trembling. Exodus chapter 20. Don't take things lightly, as we're going to see. Exodus 20, verse 18. And all the people perceived the thunder and lightning flashes and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood at a distance. Then they said to Moses, speak to us yourself and we will listen, but not God speak to us lest we die. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid or fear, for God has come in order to test you, in order that the what? Fear of him may remain with you. Why? So that you may not sin. A proper reverence and fear for the living God, it causes us to think more closely about sin, to think about those things, to see the negative value, in a sense, of sinning much more greatly. Now, within this, we see there are other places where in the New Testament we have fear coming because of sin. I'm not going to read the whole passage, but in Acts chapter 5, we have the account in the beginning of the church of Ananias and Sapphira who lied, right? Ananias and Sapphira who lied, and basically within that, Ananias, after he was confronted for his lying, he fell down dead. And great fear came upon all who heard it. And the same thing with his wife, who also lied and then was stricken down in God's punishment or discipline, whatever one, we don't know. We'll find out in heaven, right? And great fear came upon the whole church. Great fear. There are consequences to sin. And when we don't fear God, we don't fear the consequences, right? Or we don't value the price paid to deliver us from those consequences. Without a proper attitude of fear and trembling, we might look at sin with a haphazard attitude. This attitude forgets the absolute hatred that God has for sin and the price that was paid for us to be delivered from sin. Psalm chapter 4, verse 3, but know the Lord has set apart the godly man for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Tremble and do not sin. Meditate in your heart on your bed and be still, Selah. Offer sacrifices of righteousness and trust in the Lord. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 1, thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool. Where then is a house that you could build for me? And where is a place that I may rest? For my hand made all these things. Thus all things came into being, declares the Lord. But to this one I will look, God says, to him who is humble and contrite of spirit, and who trembles at my word. Ultimately, we need to have a healthy fear of sin, but that is ingrained in a healthy fear of God. You see, Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1 that we are to conduct our lives in fear. And the reason why is knowing the price that was paid to redeem us from our sin. Sin is not a small thing with God. And when we make it a small thing, we are not fearing and trembling before him in that sense. One pastor puts it this way, the salvation spoken of here is not justification, but sanctification, victory over sin and living a life that is pleasing to the Lord Jesus. They are to see that they are to make progress in their Christian lives. They are to do so with fear and trembling. This is not slavish terror, but a wholesome caution. This fear is self-distrust. It is tenderness of conscience. It is a vigilance against temptation. It is a fear in which inspiration opposes high-minded in the admonition. Be not high-minded, but fear. It is taking heed lest we fall. It's the constant apprehension of the deceitfulness of the heart and the insidious power of inward corruption of sin. Is the caution and circumspection and timidity which shrinks back from that which would offend or dishonor God, our Savior, is the essence of human responsibility. I'd agree with that. We are to conduct ourselves with fear. And I think we live in a culture, a church culture right now, that has basically no fear. You go to church these days and you look at the services, the healthy fear of God is gone. No wonder there's so much disobedience. When there's no fear of God, there's a lot of disobedience. When there's no fear of what this does to him, what it brought about in his son going to the cross. Folks, the church has it backwards. Pastors should be fearing the Almighty God, knowing there's a stricter judgment. They'll stand before him, giving account for every word and deed. They're solemnly charged to preach the word. And those who don't are in disobedience and make it clear they don't fear. And the same thing goes for each and every areas of our lives. It needs to be a healthy, righteous fear of the Lord. You see, the non-believer, the scripture says, there is no fear of God before their eyes. It should not be that way for us. And we're going to see the fear of God and obedience are tied together. Turn to Psalm 34. And while you're turning there, I'm going to read a couple of short psalms as you turn to Psalm 34. Psalm 96:9, worship the Lord in holy attire, tremble before him all the earth. Psalm 2, worship the Lord with reverence and rejoice with trembling. Psalm 34, we have the instructions from David inspired by the Spirit. Verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who, what? Fear him and rescues them. Isn't that wonderful? And guess what? When you fear the Lord, you're not trembling and being afraid. There's a wonderful reality you start to realize and taste and understand his goodness. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. This is to each one of you, saints. For those who fear him, there is no want. He takes care of you, right? The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me, and I will teach you what? The fear of the Lord. I'm going to teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves lengths of days that he may see good? Here's the fear of the Lord. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil, do good, seek peace, and pursue it. It's working out your salvation. It's obeying.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. And Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Philippians. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the Ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we wrap up today's broadcast, what are a couple of things that we should remember?
Well, Dave, obedience to God is an indicator that we have a relationship with the living God. And so if you're not walking in obedience, not perfectly, but generally speaking, I pray that you'll examine your heart to see if you truly know the Lord. Indeed, as we saw in today's broadcast, true saving faith should have works produced from a changed heart by the Lord. So with this, I want to leave you with a couple questions. Is your salvation being worked out on a regular basis? Is the result of you being in God's Word manifested in a daily life of obedience to Christ? What motivates you to obey the Lord? And lastly, have you lost a true reverence and healthy fear of God in your life? Well, I pray that this program was both encouraging and sobering, and that God through His Word has motivated you to a further walk of obedience in Christ. Now, we're going to continue our look at this idea of obedience, so stay with us for our next broadcast of Equipping the Saints.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you're receiving spiritual benefit from Equipping the Saints, would you prayerfully consider sending a gift today? Every gift makes a difference. No gift is too small, and every dollar is put right back into the ministry. To send a gift to Equipping the Saints, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to donate online, our web address is etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again next time, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.